asleep, and if you all look sleepy, I'm gonna preach forever.
Okay.
All right, listen up. You ready? You can turn in your Bibles to. You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Before we read the scripture, let's go right here. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put poor Humpty Dumpty back together again. So, if it was an egg, what kind of mess would it make, Briella?
A big mess.
And does anybody think they could, not a hard-boiled egg, because I know somebody in the back, Micah thinks this way. He'd think, well, it's hard-boiled. I could put it back together again. It's not hard-boiled. So, it's a not hard-boiled egg, and Humpty Dumpty fell. Does anybody think they could put Humpty Dumpty back together again?
No,
you couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. So we're being a little bit funny right now. But the reality is the king, the horses of the king, nobody could put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Because nobody has the power to do that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read a verse in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And the title today is... God can put broken things back together again. That is my phone. Who in the world is calling me? I'm supposed to be in church. It's not our normal church time. Oh, it was an unknown number, so chances are it's probably somebody trying to buy my van. All right. Does somebody want to put that on silent in case they try to call back? Hold on. Hand it to Brooke. Sorry about that. So... The title today is God Can Put Broken Things Back Together Again. Let's read Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, and then we'll pray over the word of God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Say that again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we make yourself real today. Your mercy real. God, your grace real, God. God, make the power of God real to us today, Lord, that in faith believing we could grab a hold and believe you for a miracle. God, believe you for the restoring of our soul, the restoring of our spirit, the restoring of our mind, Lord. God, that you could put us back together again. God, that you can restore unto us. God, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So that was a funny kid story we started out with. You know, if this was an egg, that would have been a mess. And it could not have put back together. But God is a little bit different than people. God can actually put things back together again. Amen. The principle is all through the Word of God. In fact, the people that thought they were righteous, the Bible says, them are the people that Jesus didn't come for. Why? Because they did not need a physician. They didn't need a doctor because they were whole. They were okay. Now, in reality, they weren't okay. They weren't okay, but they wouldn't admit they weren't okay. And so God would not put people that thought they were okay back together again. But the principle all the way through the Bible, and especially when Jesus was teaching, was Jesus came for the hurt. He came for the broken. He came for the needy. He came for the people that did not have it together again. And the people that did not have it together, Jesus put them back together. Amen. Because it's the kind of God he is. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. That's talking about weary people. People that are burdened down with life. People that got a lot going on, and when you got a lot going on, you have a hard time resting when you got things on your mind. When you feel like you're broken, amen, you have a hard time resting. Let's go into the Bible to Psalms chapter 34. See how fast we can do it, kids. Psalms chapter 34, verse 18. We were teaching them today on how to use the beginning of your Bible But after you figure out where the books are, you can do it a little quicker. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 18. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 18. And maybe by the end of the story, kids, we'll have Humpty Dumpty back together again.
Yay!
Amen. But remember, we can't do it. Only God can do it. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So the Bible says that God is nigh unto them, close to them that have a broken heart. There's something about having a broken heart that God can reach us a little easier. God can reach down and touch us a little easier. Because when everything's going well and going good, we sort of just cruise along. But all of a sudden, when we're in need, there's a need for... When you're in need, there's something that reaches out inside of you, please help me. Uh-huh. You know, and we don't always say that or admit that, but when we're in need, we really would just love for somebody to come up and put their arm around us. Or somebody to say, just to be a support and to be a help. And that always doesn't happen, and it should happen in the church, but it doesn't always happen. But we need to understand that God is attracted to broken people. Mm-hmm. Not people that have it all together. Not people that do everything perfectly right. But when you read through the Bible, I can give you a list, a long, long list of broken characters in the Bible. And we're actually going to talk about one briefly today. And flip over a couple pages in Psalms chapter 51. We're going to talk about a broken individual. He might as well have been Humpty Dumpty. He might as well have been a crushed egg with all of his insides on the ground. So that egg got crushed and all of its insides were on the ground. Man, you weren't putting it back together. So in Psalms chapter 51, it is a psalm of repentance from David. So we got a lot of children here, so I won't go into the details of this psalm today. But this psalm was written after David made a big mistake. David did something that he should not have did. He messed up big time. Big time. Think about the worst thing you've ever done, kids. Maybe your mom and dad don't even know yet. You should probably tell them. But the worst thing you ever did, and he made a big mistake, and then how you feel after that big mistake, you feel like a crushed egg. You feel broken. You feel like you don't even deserve to be put back together again. You made a big, horrible mistake. But let's read Psalms chapter 51, verse 1. This is what it says. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. So David says this prayer after he made a big mistake, and he's saying it to God, and the first thing he says to God is, have mercy upon me, O God. Amen. Why did he say that? Because he believed that God was merciful. I haven't heard a message on this in a while. I mean, preachers hit on it, but we're going to focus on the mercy of God. God is a merciful God. You know, if you do something wrong and you deserve to be corrected and you deserve the full punishment of being grounded for 2 weeks without any video games, stuck in your room, lock the door, throw away the key, Haley. You're stuck in your room. You deserve it. Amen. And then all of a sudden, the person in charge of you comes along and says, I forgive you. Even though you deserve it, I have mercy on you, and I want to give you freedom. You're thinking, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And you're like, okay, I'm going to do better. I'm going to go forth from here, and I'm going to do better. God is a merciful God. And that's a truth of God that we have to believe, we have to grab a hold of.
Amen.
You know who doesn't receive... strength or forgiveness? Those who doubt the mercy of God. Mm-hmm. Those who doubt the mercy of God. God's mercy and his grace reaches down in the times of need. When we fall short, when we make mistakes, and it says, I forgive you. And David had made a big mistake, and the adults are a lot of them are familiar with the story, but he had made a big mistake, and for a long period of time, David withdrew from God. That's what the Bible says. David actually withdrew from God. And why do people withdraw from God? Sometimes they withdraw from God because they don't feel like they deserve mercy. But God's mercy is not hinged upon what we do. But it's hinged upon our response to God and our going to God. This is the key. Our believing that God is a merciful God. You know, the people in the Bible that receive mercy from God are those that believe He's merciful. So, if I don't believe He's merciful, I'm not going to ask Him for mercy. What was David's first statement? He says, "Have mercy upon me, oh God." So David finally comes to the realization. He kneels down and he says, "Have mercy upon me, oh God." And then you continue on to read down it. And why? Why does he say, "Have mercy upon me"? Amen. Verse 3. He says, or verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions," or my sins, my bad things, "and my sin is ever before me." So he realized that he was broken. You know, there's no worse feeling than feeling like you're broken and that you just like other people can get it. Other people can get a hold of God and other people can enter into the goodness and the love of God, but I can't because I'm broken. Has anybody ever been there? I you don't have to say, but I've been there. I've been in places where I felt broken. I felt like I couldn't do it, and I failed again, and I messed up again, and I was troubled again, and something was keeping me from the mercy of God. And it wasn't God. It was me.
Yeah.
It was me. Because the Bible declares that His mercies are new every morning in the book of I believe it's in the book of Malachi that God says his mercies are new every morning. And all throughout the Bible, our mercies are not hinged upon everything we do, but what God did. And we just got to first believe in the mercies of God. Verse 1 says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." David knew how loving God was. "According to thy the multitude of thy tender mercies." David knew that God was a forgiving, loving God. Verse 4, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold," and this is David just being honest. He said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." I was shapen in sin. "And in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom." So David's just being honest. "Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I've made some big mistakes. And Lord, I don't deserve mercy." And David's just raw. Sometimes when we're really raw before God, we're just completely honest. We're just like broken. What did that scripture say? The one we just read in the other part of Psalms. It says, "A broken in a contrite spirit, the Lord will not reject. So this is what this means. If I come in and I just think God deserves, like I deserve God's forgiveness and I deserve God's mercy, I'm not getting it. But if I come in before God and I'm like, "Lord, I do not deserve it." And this was David. "Lord, I know that I don't deserve it." But you can't stop there, because some of us got that part down. "Lord, I know I don't deserve it." And then because of that, we don't actually believe it and go after the mercy of God. So verse 7, this is when David actually begins to ask. He says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and the gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." Here is the last most important part. We've got to believe that, yes, God's merciful, but that God is powerful enough to restore the joy of our salvation.
Amen.
God is powerful enough to forgive our sins, God is powerful enough to create in us a clean heart and put a right spirit in us. That means like put us back on the right road to God. So yes, I believe that God's merciful. And yes, I can get honest with God, but I also gotta believe that God can take me and clean me and pick me up and make me clean again and give me the desire to honor God and to serve God and to get back on my feet. Amen. So God can take the egg and put it back together. No one else can. And I am so thankful. Because I can only talk about myself, how many times that I felt like a broken egg, like in a whole bunch of pieces. And I talked about the mercy of God. Amen. And I admitted my sin. Amen. But something held me back, and that was believing that God is powerful enough to take me and put me back together again. Because sure as I'm standing here, God is the God that puts broken things back together again. And God, I can say that because God's put me back together many times. Amen. Many times when I was down and out, amen, I reached down just like David. I said, have mercy upon me. Oh God, have mercy upon me. Listen to the cry in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit. So at that point, David didn't have a clean heart. He did something pretty bad. But he said, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. And then he says in verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, nor take thy Holy Spirit from me. God, don't depart from me. God, but I want to feel your presence. I want to feel the reassurance that the Lord is right there with me, that he hasn't given up on me. And in times of need, what did I say? In times of need, when we're really in need, we desire just for someone to come along and say, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere, but I'm here. And to have the Lord's presence come down and you can feel him kind of saying, I'm here and I know you're hurting and I know you're going through a hard time, but I'm here. The presence of the Lord is something that can get us through the darkest of nights. Amen. And we have to believe that God's presence is there and God wants to touch us.
Amen.
Then it says, after that it says, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Oh, the joy of knowing you're saved. Maybe the first time that you really experienced it and you gave your heart to God and the joy of God filled your heart and you thought, whoa, I feel good. Amen. And that's we as Pentecostals, we kind of, we get blamed for being radical and they can say whatever they want, but I feel pretty good. And that's why I wiggle my feet. That's why I raise my hands. That's why I say hallelujah. Because it's the joy of my salvation. It's what God did for me. It's the mercy and the grace. And I know that I got it. And God's presence is coming down. And it's comforting me and giving me happiness. And I'm crying. I'm weeping. Maybe snot's flying. And I'm jumping. And I'm doing this because I'm excited about what God did for me.
Hallelujah.
Man, and in this moment, David had spent time away from God because he was broken. He was broken and he was hurt. But he began to cry out, oh God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. And then he says, cast not me not away from thy presence. In verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirits. Oh, he was crying out to God, and he says, Lord. And then in verse 15, he says, oh, Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praises. He begins to feel God once again, and he hadn't felt God for a long while. And he says, oh, Lord, let my mouth open that I may praise you, that I may let everybody know what you've done for me, how you set me free, how you delivered me, how you give me strength and life and hope, the joy of myself. I feel good. I feel good. I feel like God has forgiven me. I feel like the mercy and the grace of God will help me get going back the direction I need to go. Amen. Amen. I never we're wrapping this up. I never, Lord, help me not to downplay the mercy of God.
Amen.
Think, well, no, God is so merciful. And then help me never to doubt the power of God. We got to believe God for a miracle. We got to believe God that God is more and He's able. And then the last scripture we'll end with is verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Amen. Somebody that comes to God and says, Lord, I feel like Humpty Dumpty. I feel broken. But God, I know and I believe that You are the kind of God that doesn't despise brokenness. Sometimes we feel like we despise people and we despise God because of how broken we are. But the Bible says a broken and a contrite heart, broken and a contrite spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou will not despise. God does not despise you because you're broken. Thank goodness for that.
Amen.
Because otherwise God would despise me. But He doesn't despise me. He looks down upon me and He said, Ah, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will put you back together. I will restore to you, and I will help you become the man or the woman that I created you to be.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So let's look Hallelujah. Towards God. Amen. Let's look towards God for a moment of time Amen. Here. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Lord, I need